Good afternoon, and thank you for joining our program today. You are listening to Fire Shut Up In My Bones. Please turn to 1 Samuel. I would like you to look at the 28th chapter of 1 Samuel, and we'll start in verse 5 in our reading. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said unto him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself, and put on the other raiment, and went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom shall I name unto thee? And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off these that have familiar spirits, and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life, to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answered me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee, and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and give it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou badest not the voice of the Lord, nor executed his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord shall also deliver Israel with thee unto the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Then the Lord shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. In the hand of the Philistines. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please bless this interesting study. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as you know, this is the story of Saul, the king of Israel, seeking the counsel of a familiar spirit as to how he should conduct himself in regards to the battle between Israel and the Philistines. Okay, so king of Israel versus the Philistines. He was scared. He didn't know what to do. He was seeking counsel. He seek counsel of God. But because of his sin, his great wickedness that he did in 1 Samuel chapter 15, by not doing what God told him, not to spare the Amalekites, don't spare anything, to wipe them all out, the animals and the king. But Saul did not do that. And because of that, the Lord stopped speaking to Saul. And as you know, God gave the kingdom of Israel. He took the kingdom of Israel from Saul and gave it to David. So now Saul is scared. In verse 16 it says, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Okay, so now he disguises himself and seeks a familiar spirit, which is this witch at Endor. And throughout the story, we see Samuel being conjured up from paradise by the witch. And a lot of people, and this is basically what our study is about today. A lot of people believe that this wasn't Samuel being conjured up from paradise. Some believe that This was a devil or demon disguised as Samuel. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Was did a devil disguise himself as Samuel? Did a devil disguise himself as Samuel? I'm going to read some scripture here. And I'll let you conclude based on the verses that we're going to read today if a devil disguised himself as Samuel. So I'll let you make that decision. So let me just go ahead and read my notes. Who was conjured up in 1 Samuel 28? When studying the word of God, it's important to understand who is talking and who that person that is talking to. Okay, I know that's a tongue twister. Let me repeat that. When studying the word of God, it's important to understand who is talking and who that person is talking to. Given, so we already went into the background of this. Before I go forward, what Saul was doing here was extremely wicked and forbidden by God. We ought not to be talking to the dead. If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, I'm not going to read everything, but when you have the time, I highly suggest that you read that. Because there's a lot of people out there talking to the dead loved ones, talking to ghosts, talking to witches and things like that. And that's highly forbidden by the word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, in verse 9, it says, "When thou art come into thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." What Saul did was an abomination unto the Lord. This is wickedness. There shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or daughter pass through the fire, or that uses divination. Divination is talking to the dead, or observer of times. That's trying to figure out the future. You know, like the fortune cookies and the Ouija boards. Those are evil. Or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits. This witch in this passage of scripture is referred to as a familiar spirit, or wizards, or necromancer. For all those that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. So what Saul was doing here was an abomination, something strongly detestable by the Lord God. In Leviticus 19:31, it also says the same thing. You're not supposed to seek after familiar spirits, like what Saul's doing. This is wickedness. This applies to us today. You ought not to be looking at the, I don't know what it's called, this globe to tell the future, reading, palm reading for the future and all that. Those are 100% wickedness according to scripture. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 31, it says, "Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." So all that Harry Potter mess, ghost hunters and Ouija board, all that kind of stuff like that, that must be tossed in the fire for, and you must take that stuff very seriously. Now, I want you to identify the speaker, okay? Identify who's talking here. So you see the request to summon Samuel. That's, it says, and Saul swear to, okay, in verse 11 it says, "Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel." So he said, "Bring me up Samuel." Now, the witch recognized Samuel before Saul. I want you to notice that the witch at Endor recognized Samuel before Saul. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. Okay, so she's doing her necromancy thing, divination. And when she saw Samuel, that's when she cried out. And she said, She cried with a loud voice. Let me read it over. I apologize. "And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." So when she recognized Samuel, she said, oh my goodness, if that's Samuel and this guy is trying to bring Samuel up, this must be, oh, it's Saul. I recognized you. Okay, so you can see the identity of the speaker. The speaker was Samuel. Okay, so she identified him. Okay, but Saul didn't know that was Samuel just said. Look at verse 13. "And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of?" By the way, gods is a little g in this. Sometimes gods can be used as judges. And we know that Samuel was also a judge as well as a prophet. He judged Israel. And it says, and he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. So the identity of the speaker is Samuel. The witch recognized Samuel before Saul. Saul perceived that the identity of Samuel based on the clothing he was wearing. So in 14 it said, and he is covered with a mantle. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. I actually don't have a lot of time. I have to go somewhere after this. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 27, Samuel is wearing a mantle. Okay, so he's identified by the clothing he was wearing. Apparently, while he's in paradise, he has the same type of clothing on. And let's see. Now, I want you to get this. This is very important. The Bible, whom we trust, the Bible that's infallible, says Samuel spoke. Okay, that's very important because, you know, a lot of people, and, you know, they're not wrong. I mean, this is some very shocking things that we see in the Bible here. Very scary when I first read this, right? But the Bible says that Samuel spoke. Now, if you believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, whosoever means everyone, that's called taking the Bible literally. I believe that. The audience who knows Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, believes that. Now, my question to you is, do you believe that? Why? Well, the Bible is pure, purer than gold. The Bible is infallible. The Bible says that God cannot lie. So in this portion of scripture here, the Bible says Samuel spoke. It doesn't say spirit spoke. If it had said that, then I would have been like, maybe that is a devil disguised as Samuel. But it's not. It says Samuel spoke. The Bible says, the Bible does not lie. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, let me go take some time to go there and read the whole scripture. If I can't find it in time. Okay, I found it. Praise the Lord. Samuel chapter 1, verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. We know that men were moved by the Holy Ghost to write the Bible. So God wrote the Bible. It's inspired, means God breathed. So we know that the Bible is written by God. God cannot lie. Samuel spoke. In Psalms chapter 12, verse 6, if you have your King James Bible with you, and we're only a King James Bible program, Psalms 12, 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified even seven times. You could put the Bible, apply it to any application of your life, compare it with history and science, the Bible always comes out on top. So I know that Samuel spoke here. Why is that? Because I know that God can't lie, and I know that the Bible will never lie. So to say that, it might have been that a devil disguised himself as Samuel. Well, I do believe, with all due respect, you might be adding on to God's word and you're saying that God is a liar. The Bible says Samuel spoke, not a spirit. Now let me read my notes. If this was a demon disguised as Samuel and the Bible mentions it not that it was a demon disguised as Samuel, then you're guilty of making God a liar. Okay? Let me see if my notes are still good. Okay, you guys can still hear me good. Sorry, my notes just shut off on me. Okay, so Samuel says the Lord spoke to him. Okay, so go to verse 17. And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even David. Okay, so again, the Bible does not say a demon lied and said he is Samuel. Now, I want you to see 1 Samuel 15, 28, because in this portion of scripture, we're in 1 Samuel 28, verse 17, we see Samuel recollecting the fact that he told David that the kingdom is his because of Saul's disobedience in Samuel chapter 15. Okay, so he's recalling that true fact. He's saying, hey, I told David that the kingdom is his. the guy is going to take the kingdom from Saul. That's what I told him. I'm going to tell you that. And the Lord has done to him as he spake by me. So this person here is saying by me. He's saying he's Samuel. It doesn't say it's a devil. So that's a very key phrase in this verse. And he spake by me. Okay. So it doesn't say, oh, the devil said that he is Samuel and he spake by me. Nope. That's Samuel. I believe the Bible literally. Samuel says the Lord spoke to him. Again, he doesn't say the demon lied. And he said he's Samuel. And I said, see, 1 Samuel 15:28. He's basically repeating himself or recollecting or recalling the fact that he told David that the kingdom is his. Samuel's prediction comes true. Let's go to verse 19. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee unto thy hand. So, sadly, Saul got his answer. He was seeking some answers, and boom, here it is. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into thine hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. So we see here Samuel's prediction comes true. This is Samuel. Samuel's prediction is very true. We read verse 19. If you go all the way to 1 Samuel chapter 31, verses 1 through 6, Samuel and where it says his sons, that's Jonathan, they did die in battle. So Samuel here is predicting what will happen to Saul and his sons. They died. Okay, again, nowhere in the scripture does it say the devil lied, said he was Samuel, and voila, you're going to drop dead. This is Samuel indeed. Okay, and by the way, here's another thing that will satisfy your curiosity. For the longest time, I'm like, was Saul saved? If he had done what he was supposed to do, I really do believe if he went on ahead and killed the king and just start doing right and killing stuff like he was supposed to do in 1 Samuel chapter 15, I do believe God would forgive him. I still think he would be replaced. Okay? But here's what I think, based on scripture, not my opinion, that Saul is saved. It says, shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Okay? You recall when the rich man and Lazarus died. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom in paradise. Why is that? Because Lazarus is saved. The rich man is not. The rich man was in torments, the Bible says. Okay? So, Lazarus was in paradise with Abraham. And you see Samuel, who's in paradise, he said, shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Okay? So that, and Jonathan was a righteous man, right? So he's going to be, Jonathan and Saul, Jonathan who's righteous, is going to be with Samuel in paradise, okay? Or they say paradise hell, okay? So Saul was saved. It's just that God stopped using him and is using someone else, okay? And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Conclusion here is, hey, look, guys, the Bible never lies. If the words of God says it was Samuel, then it was Samuel. Plain and simple. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins in John 3:16, don't say, well, you know, if and is in the but. You know, don't add on to God's word. The Bible is very careful about that, you know, adding jots and tittles and things like that. The Bible says what it says. And it's a good practice here. So as a believer reading this, there's so much to the Bible we just don't understand. At times, and God is gracious with the aid of the Holy Spirit to show us these things. So instead of speculating, which, you know, I read a lot of comic books, you know, and sometimes speculation, the Bible is a fun thing. It's better to speculate the Bible and say, hey, I wonder what Adam looked like than to be speculating sin. Amen. You know, I want to know what Adam looked like. One day I'll find out. I said, man, I wonder if Adam looked just like Jesus. Okay. But in this case here, we just have to take the Bible for what it says. Samuel, in this passage, it says it was Samuel, and that's it. I'm going to answer some questions. You're probably yelling at this podcast right now, and I know exactly what you're going to say. So let's dive into that too. And so conclusion, here is the Bible. The conclusion is the Bible never lies. The words of God says it was Samuel, then it was Samuel. You might quote this verse in Corinthians 11:14. See, I bet you're shouting that out at the radio right now. It says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, and into an angel of light. That's in 2 Corinthians 11:14. Now, that is true. The devil does do that. He can change his shape. He can change his image. He can possess things. But at least the Bible says that if the devil was disguised here, that was the devil. Here's the case in point. But realize that multiple verses show, or some verses show that the serpent who tricked Eve in the Garden of Eden in, I think, Genesis 2 or 3, is the devil. How do we know that? Now, this is where comparing scripture with scripture comes in. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, right? Let's go there really fast. I don't have a lot of time. My wife called me earlier, just got off the phone with her. You can't tell because I paused this program and unpaused it. But, okay, so Revelation chapter 12, verse 19. And I'm hastening because there's some other points I got to make here. 12:19, it says, oh, you know what? My apologies. It's Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out. That's the devil. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Who deceived the whole world? Who deceived Adam and Eve? The devil, that serpent in the Garden of Eden. So, you know, when you have time, look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. You see the serpent beguiled Eve, and we know that that serpent is the devil based on this passage. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things, comparing scripture with scripture, right? Nowhere in the pages of the Bible do you see the Bible saying that 1 Samuel chapter 28 was actually the devil, not Samuel, or a demon, and not Samuel. You don't see that. Now, if you find it, we're a humble bunch. Email it to us or message it to us in his comments. We will admit our mistakes. But I don't see it in the scriptures. This was Samuel. Okay? Now I'll just read my notes. Now, ask, where in the Bible does it say that this incident in 1 Samuel 28 was a devil disguised as Samuel? Now, if you find it, please email it to us or comment in our section below. Okay? Now, has similar instances like this occurred? Well, when it comes to someone dead returning, yes, in a way. However, just like in the case of 1 Samuel 28, it was allowed by God. Okay? Take, for instance, Moses and Elias or Elijah, their appearance in Matthew chapter 17. Let's go there and then we'll finish this up. I just, you know, just some more interesting things. I find the Bible very interesting because I'm saved. I got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And I know the audience, those that are saved, ask Jesus to save them, are interested in this kind of stuff too. It's better to be interested in the things of in the Bible than some stupid reality show and people jumping into bed with each other. Matthew chapter 17. There's nothing good on television to watch anyway, so might as well read the Bible. Amen. Matthew 17, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias, you know what? That's the wrong one. Transfiguration. Okay, please listen to this. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias. Talk with him, Elijah. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord is... Okay, I'll stop right there. Moses is dead. Elisha got raptured out a long time ago to heaven, okay? This is going to happen to us. Let me not jump ahead, though, and read my notes here. When it comes to someone... Okay, however... Second case. Okay, so Moses and Elias' appearance. Moses died and was buried by God in an unknown place. You can see that in Deuteronomy 34, verses 5 through 6. When you have time, read that. Moses died physically, and God buried him. They don't even know where the gravesite is, because a lot of Bible scholars believe that if Israel knew where Moses was buried, people will end up worshiping Moses instead. Okay, so... But you see, Moses is dead, but Moses is appearing in Matthew chapter 17. That is fascinating. Okay, but now Elias was taken to heaven without physically dying. He was transfigured up there, you know, translated, raptured out of here. And you can see that in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Let's turn there. I better turn there because I want to make sure that I'm giving you guys the right references. Really fast. 2 Kings. So I'm in Judges. There's Kings. 2 Kings. 2:11. I went back too far. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and departed them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So he didn't die. Elijah went straight up into heaven. Okay, rapture. That's going to happen to us. If you're a born-again Christian, if you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and asked Jesus to save you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This could happen to you. Now, if you drop dead like Moses did, okay, let me read the verse. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So if you and I drop dead right now, and when Jesus comes back, which he's going to come back, those that are dead shall rise first. Now, those that did not die, okay, this is like the guys that are like Elijah, that 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain, that's us, if God comes back while we're still here, when God comes back and if we're still here, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. So if you're still here, right, you're not dead, and Jesus comes back. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say if. When Jesus comes back, and if you're still here, you're going to get raptured out of the earth. Okay, you're going to get taken out of here. You're going to be caught up in the twinkling of an eye. Okay, in Luke 17, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken and the one left. You know, this is just example, you know, people, you're a piece of delivery man that's a born-again Christian. His car goes off the road into somebody's house. The pizza's there. And they're like, what happened to the pizza man? Airplanes flying out of the sky because the pilot was a born-again Christian. All right. All right. So last. So basically, the saints of God come back from the dead. They're going to be caught up. You're going to rise first and meet him in the air, okay? Lastly, okay, the saints of God's body arose in Matthew chapter 27. Go there. And this is, we'll close with that, Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we'll close. You say, will this ever happen again? I don't know. I'm just reading scripture here that I found interesting. Matthew 27, 52. It says, and the graves were opened. Okay, so this is when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross for our sins. Now, on the sixth hour, there were darkness all over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Okay, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them stood there when he heard this man calling for Elias. For straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it in a reed and give it to. And then Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice. Okay, yeah. So verse 50. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. This is Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins. And behold, the veil of the temple. Let me go to 52. And the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints, those are saved folks, which slept, arose. Okay, so this is another indication right here. No, I'm sorry. Another example of the dead in Christ rising from the dead. And it says, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. Okay, so when Jesus rose again on the third day, they came out of the graves after his resurrection. So that's when Jesus rose again on the third day and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Okay, I do believe, this is just my opinion. Okay, so don't say, oh, Darian said. This is just my opinion. I really do think what happened here was when Jesus was getting his saints out of paradise, and after resurrection, the saints were walking around. And do you remember in the Bible where Jesus ascended up into heaven? Well, I don't think it was seen, but that's when I do think that the same saints that were walking around and appearing to many, that's when they got caught up and went right back into heaven. Okay? Okay, that's just my opinion. I'm going to ask some of my friends that know way more Bible than me if they can find a verse that satisfies my question. That's just my opinion. But, you know, in other words, I hope that was a blessing to you. What we can learn from this Bible lesson is this. Take the Bible literally. If it says this, it says that. If another passage of scripture that's talking about the same thing says it's this, then believe that. Use scripture to figure out harder Bible verses. You know, like, oh man, that's a really weird Bible. I have an example top of my head, but if there's a Bible verse that is not that clear, look for another Bible verse that's talking about the same thing, and that will make it clear. You got to use scripture to compare it with other scripture to know what it's talking about, and of course, ask God to help you.
Before I close this program, before we really conclude, right? What happened to those saints that rose from the dead in Matthew chapter 27? And what happened to them even after the resurrection of Jesus? It says that they were walking around. They went to the holy city and they met many. Let me read it again before we conclude this program. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. That's Matthew 27:52. And came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. So what happened to them? Well, the Bible says, if you go to Ephesians, let me see if I can find it real fast. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, very quickly, and we'll close the program. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So Jesus ascended up and he led the rest of the captive that were in paradise right back up into heaven. And by the way, when we read in Matthew 27:53, and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many, right? Who knows? Maybe those that rose again from the dead were witnessing to people and people still didn't get saved. That's why if you go to, Marissa, is it Luke chapter 16, Lazarus and the rich man? 15. When you go to Luke chapter 15, where the rich man Lazarus in hell, and the rich man was saying, Abraham, raise someone from the dead to go witness to my brothers. That's why Abraham said, even if one was risen from the dead, they still wouldn't believe. They have the prophets, which is talking about the Bible, the prophets still on earth and the Old Testament to read. Let them read that and get saved. But even if one were to rise from the dead, they still wouldn't believe. So we'll go ahead and conclude this program. Did a devil disguise himself as Samuel? Based on scripture, I don't think so.